Hey, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today. Look at me. I can be part of the team here at the Infuse Show. Guys,
what's up?
Welcome everyone to our new monthly microdose of infused content. This is going to be a monthly thing where we're allowed to tackle, we have the opportunity to tackle some subjects that some of our audience is interested in or that simply elude us right. on our usual programming. So I'm pretty excited about this.
I'm
the
really
dog
excited.
Walker of content.
Ooh, TM. The dog walker of infused content. So welcome to Microdose. And it's fall, and for so many reasons, sports fans look at fall as the most wonderful time of the year. You have, of course, the NFL returns and people's Sunday traditions are back to normal. But for me, and I love the NFL as well, but for me, it doesn't get better than the MLB playoffs when you get baseball in October. So we were looking, we were thinking about what we wanted to talk about today. And since it's always on the top of our minds, we're going to look at the topic of athletes and cannabis and the testing policies of a couple of the big leagues, guys. You ready to do so?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's go.
And you know what the cool thing about Microdose is? It features our man, DJ Rags. Frank, how you doing today, bud?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm doing okay. I'm really excited to talk about this. And I was thinking, you know, the stigma still exists out there. And I don't know... It seems like there's less acceptance and there's less sympathy for the people who put their bodies on the line to entertain you and I on a weekly basis, on a nightly basis in some of these leagues. So I thought back to the last time I thought in pro sports we had an arresting moment where everybody was like, come on, is this right? And it took me back to Shikari Richardson, guys. Mm-hmm. And if we look at her story, when she tested positive for cannabis use during, I think it was the track and field time trials, right?
Yes.
And the minimum penalty for that is a one-month suspension. Maximum is 2 years. And I think to myself, 2 years on the shelf life of any athlete is an eternity. And, you know, her suspension ended during the Olympics, but Team USA chose not to take her, okay, because of what she had done. We're talking about the sixth fastest woman in recorded history. And I don't know, that it started with her story captivated me. It spoke to me. That stirring look, beautiful girl, electric smile, using cannabis to cope with family. I mean, totally speaking to me, she's one of the fastest people in the world. I'm one of the fastest people in the world. So we were thinking, I was thinking, what? This is so unfair. And so I wanted to share with you guys, and we'll use this as our premise as we go along. The decision was largely based on the World Anti-Doping Agency's criteria for prohibited substances. Excuse me. So for our audience, I know you guys know them. One, it's going to be two of the three criteria, and then we'll go right to it. One, the substance harms the health of the athlete. Let's remember that.
Okay.
Two, the substance is performance enhancing. All right.
Okay.
That's become a punchline in and of itself. It was the old Robin Williams joke. It's only performance enhancing weed if there's a big fucking Hershey bar at the finish line, is what Robin said. And three, and this is the one, the substance is against the spirit of the sport.
Well, that's their gray area one.
Yeah.
It's my prerogative about
exactly what
stays and what goes. And that's...
Well, even number one, it hurts the athlete.
Yeah, we can
isn't
go back
that,
to number one because three
that
is a lot
awful
of meat.
Subjective also? I mean, it seems like...
I would think so.
Even objective, and if you want to go objectively, cannabis is good for you.
A candy bar hurt. That's not good for you.
Right.
You shouldn't. You're now, boom, there's number one.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't... It really is either... It also... It does nothing for... the science of cannabis that is telling us about how good it is for our bodies. And so saying that it's, you know, harming the health of the athlete means that it can't be a beneficial substance, which we know is not true, that it is one. So it's just a straight up lie if you're using that as a disqualification. Do you understand what I mean?
Oh, no, I totally understand what you mean.
You look confused, so I didn't know if I wasn't explaining
it. I always
it.
Look confused.
I think in this situation, to me, it's very clear that the policy of the anti-doping agency is just archaic. And it's reflective of just a staunch group of people that want to control everything, that aren't willing to look at other alternative sources of recovery and things like that. I mean, What do they think people are doing for inflammation? They're taking Tylenol and things like that, and they allow that, but they're not going to allow cannabis. So at some point, they have to step up into the current ages and look at these other sources of things. Like, do they allow CBD? Do they allow, is it just THC products? And so there's a lot of things like that that, to me, they're just way, and I say way behind. I feel like they're like 50 to 70 years behind.
That's exactly what I would say. It's at least a half century.
Yeah.
At least a half century behind.
I mean, people are more likely to abuse prescription painkillers and to have that damage their bodies than they are to, quote unquote, abuse cannabis. Right. And they're talking about the use of cannabis. So it really is, yes, it's archaic, and it's so archaic that it's been so flat out wrong for so long that you can't believe it's obviously not going to be correct information that fixes this. So what's going to fix it?
Yeah, yeah.
They have the correct information.
Nick, on the three criteria, mm-hmm. do you think she was disqualified because it was performance enhancing? Is that, I guess we don't know.
Yeah,
which
do
of
we
the,
know what we don't, they, which no. the two, the three?
And I don't know if they have to publish that or whatever, but it has to meet two of the three. And I'm like, but still.
All three are gray.
All three are gray. It's like I have a problem with each one of them. Mm-hmm. And particularly, it's not like she was sitting there, took out a Fat Panda pre-roll before the damn race, and then just blazed through it. She was
the race or the pre-roll?
But I mean, we know that she was using to deal with trauma, to deal with stress. It's something, anxiety. It's something that happens every day with people that use cannabis. So you'd have a hard time proving to me that, you know, well, she used this. It was a one-to-one simple ratio. Right. I do this, so I perform this way. Does that make any sense to you, Frank?
I think it's upsetting that she even had to give a reason why she used it.
Yes.
I mean, are we yes. still at that yes. point where she's like, first of all, I lost my grandmother, and I needed to prepare for the race.
Mm-hmm.
So she shouldn't have to. She shouldn't have to say that, those personal
exactly.
details.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I couldn't agree with
Great
you
point.
More.
You talk about people too. I mean, we're going to look at the policies of two of the major sports that are still playing right here in the fall. But if you talk about them, you know, we're going to get into the MLB and the NFL. But you can pick one or the other or both. We know stories now of guys who are aging, guys that were, you know, unhealthy lifestyles, playing these awful schedules. Because whether you're playing, you know, the 5 months of the year with the NFL and grinding your body out, or the ridiculous amount of games and travel that baseball is involved, it takes its toll on your body.
Hockey.
Yeah, brutal. It takes its toll on your body. You know, people are abusing painkillers all the time that are retired athletes. And you'll hear your friends run, hey, man, that was a great 30 for 30 about something. But what was it really? Because that's a sad, sad story that this person had to resort to this kind of lifestyle. So go ahead.
I'm sorry. I had to look up something on my phone because I wanted to make sure I was correct. But before we move away from Shikari, I need to draw attention to the fact that I think we can't ignore the underlying racism that is in prohibition and is exhibited in the Shikari example.
No doubt.
Because she's a black woman of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
And we know that it was racism that really fueled cannabis prohibition, and now she's being punished almost like doubly. So,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
is being
yeah.
held as like, so the whole, I just needed to address no, that.
And I'm glad you did, because I think when we're all pretty much like-minded, we tend to forget to bring up stuff like that
yeah.
because it's almost second nature to us, but it needs to be
But I
said.
Don't think everybody knows that, you
right.
know, understands right. that's a factor. I feel like that's an element in it.
Yeah. Well,
anyway, so go on.
No. So I wanted to jump right in, and we'll take a look. So I just said I hope the Phillies are going to do what I want them to do, and looking forward to playoff baseball, Mike. But let's look at the MLB, and that currently cannabis is not a banned substance since I think it's 2019.
Right.
All right. It's been removed from the list of banned substances, and players can't use, obviously, while they're wearing the uniform, Francesca, and playing, practicing, spring training, all that stuff. So if they're on the company clock, they can't use.
Okay.
And then there's also a policy where they cannot, they also can't be sponsored by cannabis companies. And, you know, through clients we've worked with in the past, we've ran into this one,
yeah.
Mike. This is not a league that is a stranger to controversy, all right? The fact that cannabis has been just removed and are like, oh, man, let's not deal with that. Have they learned from some of the missteps of the past, in your opinion?
If you look back at the history and even recent history of MLB, they're still wearing black eyes from some of these things. Gambling, steroids.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so, yeah. I mean, this is one I think it was an easy decision for them, given their players and the amount of stress on the players and everybody else. Just say, let's just let the players have the win here. It's all part of the bargaining agreement. So,
yeah.
You know, if it's not on the company time, then you guys do what you want to do. We're not going to test you in season, out of season. Just don't do it in the office is basically what they're saying.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem with that. I think that's a fair approach.
Yeah, I understand that line of like when you're working, I need to know where you are mentally, or I need to, you know, we need to have these agreements. It's just like wearing a uniform. You have to wear certain clothes. You have to do certain things to perform your job.
Well, and I think also there's the other element of it is as a, I say I own a team, they may not want to potentially lose spectators or fans if somebody is not in alignment of seeing somebody spark a joint in the dugout or something
like
that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, I mean, I think they're looking at also from the business decision of being like, hey, I want to try to keep the fans as intact as possible because they're ultimately the ones that are bringing the revenue
money.
In.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't want to turn people away. I don't want to, you know, but I'm going to have this policy. While you're in the job, you got to keep it clean. But as soon as you walk off the stadium, then spark it up.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you think about a lot of these players play and travel to cities and states that are rec legal.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, why not? Let them have fun with it. They probably have medical cards anywhere in their home states.
Absolutely. So we go through the first one, Francesca. Substance harms the health of the athlete.
No.
Scratch our heads here and say no. Substance is performance enhancing. So, look, I could field. I was a decent enough infielder. I couldn't hit worth shit. Is cannabis going to help me hit a baseball coming at me at 98 miles an hour? Is it performance enhancing?
I don't know. I mean, Frank is the athlete, the resident athlete here. What do you say,
probably
Frank?
Probably not. When I hear performance enhancing, I'm thinking about the growth of your muscles.
Uh-huh.
Is it helping? Is it increasing the speed with that? So with cannabis, the fact that some people take it to alleviate anxiety, to help them
improve
recover,
sleep.
I don't feel like that gives you a competitive edge.
Yeah.
It helps you play more games. If you're an owner of a company or general manager, you want your players healthy on the field. That's how you guys win ball games.
Best product.
So I don't see the issue with that.
Yeah.
Look at it this way, too, about performance enhancing. Lance Armstrong didn't win the Tour de France all those times by smoking cannabis.
Yeah.
He won by blood doping.
Mm-hmm.
So that the spirit of what they're trying to do
That's
is
a great
to
point.
Get rid of steroids, doping, things like that that are absolutely
harming you. Yeah,
there
is no ambiguity.
And
very well
and
said.
Drastically changing your performance.
Yeah.
I mean, drastically changing performance. So I don't even understand how they can apply that to THC products.
I just
can't even wrap my head around it.
Yeah, and I think going back to the beginning of it, we're just looking at MLB, I don't think an organization like that just has to, I don't know, they just have to accept the fact that they've made awful decisions. You brought them all up. A World Series was thrown due to gambling. Oof. We've had all these issues. And then they have, you know, one of the true heroes of the sport, Hank Aaron, who's also a civil rights icon. His record's gone because of a dude that was juiced. And they allow that. So I'm pretty sure with this cannabis thing, they have to be like, you know what?
Yep, exactly.
Interesting. I think we should move on to the, we'll talk about the old pigskin, right? Pot and the pigskin game. The NFL, Mike, season ticket holder, proud Baltimore Raven fan.
Sure.
In the NFL, players are currently banned from cannabis use. The testing policy has changed. We know this. Players testing positive are no longer serving suspension, so they're not missing games anymore. They are still fined. According to a number of sources, I can't confirm any of these, and Frank can give us some more. Cannabis is, I mean, widespread use among current NFL players. Do they need to have a little bit more urgency where this policy is concerned, considering the shelf life of the players and what happens to them after they hang up the cleats. Francesca, you've sat through documentaries with me about the 85 Bears and see what some of those guys have gone through. Is the policy urgent enough? What do they got to do?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me why they're holding out on this. And with talk about scandals, I mean, the NFL has plenty of other things to worry about than the cannabis use of their players. And certainly one of the things they have to worry about with, like you said, brain injuries, not to mention any other kind of injury, is that cannabis could actually help that. And so they're really backing the wrong horse, and they need to pick up the pace with that and move it along.
I would think so. We need to be running a sprint and not a jog to get this thing reformed. Substance harms their health of the athlete. Substance is performance enhancing. Mike, is it a performance enhancing drug, knowing what you do about the league and the game?
I mean, it's just like we said earlier, and I just don't get I can't get my head around it. Frank brought up, helping to deal with anxiety. Obviously, it can help you deal with sleep, and those can help you recover from the beating that you put your body through on a Sunday.
Right.
But in terms of, again, I don't see somebody throwing the ball farther or running faster because they were able to utilize cannabis in that capacity. So I just don't understand how they're even getting to it.
I don't either. For a little bit more understanding, Frank was a kicker for the mighty Blue Hens of the University of Delaware. They're off to a good start this year, Frank. If you were smoking, you have the position on the field, to me, that carries with it the most weight of anxiety. You're either the hero of the day or you're the loser of the week, and you got to feel that shit all week. Would something like cannabis, I get that, maybe it takes the anxiety away of taking that extra point where that game is tied up, but is it going to help you kick and put it through the uprights?
No, it's not. And it's a shame that it's put in that light. But the fact that if I'm having anxiety issues, I can maybe see a sports therapist to help me out. Mm-hmm. There's alternatives there. And why isn't cannabis put in that same realm where mm-hmm. it's just an alternative? Training facilities have no problem handing out opioids and anti-anxiety medication. And I read a study actually last night that 52% of NFL players who were given opioids continue that use after their career is done.
Wow.
Which is scary some ways, that they can develop an addiction after their playing days. But to go back to your point, me being a kicker, there's a lot of pressure involved. I'm not only concerned about my mental capacity in that moment, but also physical as well. So taking one thing that's a healthy alternative that can help both my body and my mind be in sync in mm-hmm. that potential game-winning moment is something that we have to consider for our professional athletes as well as college athletes.
And consider it as just an alternative, like, treatment or right. And not a performance enhancer.
Right.
Wasn't David Akers, former kicker for the Eagles and the 49ers, among other teams, he was notoriously nervous, and he had bad, bad, bad stomach issues. So, I mean, you could see him on the sidelines if you went up to the link, popping Rolaids, just one after the other, getting him through a game. Now, those Rolaids they're not natural. They weren't grown in a field. I'm also not saying they're contraband, but he's taking something to help him
right.
with that physical feeling. So there's some inconsistency. What's that?
It's the same boat. Those, Rolaids and cannabis now should be, it helped him relax or deal with his stomach, which then allowed him to go on the field and do his job. Is that performance enhancing?
Yeah, I would hope not. I mean, because then that's the thing, is how ridiculous it can get. So I'm sure that somewhere, some organization has a definition of performance enhancing that would be a piece to this conversation that would make it easier to draw that line, and it's not as ambiguous or ambivalent as we think. But the way they just state it is not, it's not clear cut. No. And so you can't, because it's not clear cut, cannabis shouldn't be in it.
Well, I always get this with there's inconsistency, especially in that league practice, with other substances that they either turn a blind eye to or that they promote. Frank, what were you telling me about players, current players, and sponsorships?
Well, that was another thing, is when you brought up the MLB sponsorships mm-hmm. that they're banned. Well, they're allowed alcohol sponsors. There's players in MLB, NBA, and NFL that have alcohol sponsors. Now, why is that allowed?
Right.
If you're a kid growing up and you see, Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm. he's your idol, right? And he's in a Bud Light commercial.
White Claw.
Why is that? But it's just the fact that, like, why are they allowed to do that and they can't sponsor, let alone a CBD company, but also a cannabis company?
I think that's what my thing is, where I get a little bit, the ire is worked up, is that I just hate inconsistency. Because I hate, I've been pretty vocal about this. Their thing now in that league with Aaron Rodgers and his damn ayahuasca,
mm-hmm.
It makes me irate. It makes me, that is a hallucinogenic. We know less about ayahuasca right. than we do about cannabis. There are fewer studies about ayahuasca. But this guy gets on different shows, and he's like, mm-hmm. hey, I did it the right way. I went overseas. I was with a shaman the whole time. And I'm like, you were too much of a wimp to take the damn vaccine. But you're going to go and say, I did this hallucinogenic, and it just cleared everything up. And we're gonna allow him to do that winner's strut about that?
Which is selling it as a panacea, which is the bad rap that cannabis always gets and we have to push back on. So, yeah, that is super annoying on many levels. Yeah.
Well, that's the NFL, though. They're so inconsistent about what they pick and choose.
Seriously.
That's grandfathered in type scenario.
Right.
You know, like, no.
Does it all come down to Mike's point earlier about it's all a business decision and they're kind of just all inching forward because I don't want to lose the fans? At what point will I lose them?
So the NFL is still recovering from the Colin Kaepernick situation where they lost fans. We're not getting into that here, but I think the owners felt that. I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've coupled that with COVID and stadiums were empty. So I think it is a bit of that even in the NFL. They're just like, we don't want to lose people.
Let sleeping dogs lie kind of thing.
It will say you lose, an alcohol company who's a billion dollar sponsor or something like that potentially over a few years. Like it hurts the whole league, not just the one team. So I think there's some sensitivity to that. None of the sponsors, none of the owners, they don't even know
about alcohol would be bothered by cannabis being a sponsor to DOI. Yeah. Oh my God.
but at the same time, the owners, all that, they're like, what did Aaron Rodgers take? They don't even understand what the fuck it is.
Yeah.
So that's why nobody's saying shit about it.
Yeah. Except that, I do take this as him peacocking and taking taking a victory lap of, like, this is what I do, but I see a shaman. I was like, first of all, dude, you're a dork for the shaman thing. That's you're just trying to look better. And what did you do over that weekend with the shaman? What does that stuff make you do? You piss yourself, you shit yourself, you vomit up. I'm like, Jesus. Oh, yeah, you're glamorous, Aaron, but he's so much more accepted, but you and I know from being around the same age, when Ricky Williams came into this league and he was very, very open, okay, about his cannabis use, they acted like that man, Ricky Williams, of course, founder of Heisman, the new cannabis brand, Heisman Trophy winner as well. They treated him, Francesca, as if he was wearing a tarantula for hair and, a rattlesnake as a tie. Like you couldn't get weirder than him.
What year did he? What year was that?
I was in the mid-90s. Mid-90s.
Mm, yeah. That's a big factor.
Yeah. It's a big factor. And I think, up until this recent bargaining agreement, all those cannabis suspensions, the marijuana suspensions in the NFL were cumulative. So you'd get, if you got caught once, it was like a one-game suspension, then a four-game suspension, then an eight. Then
really?
Then look at Josh Gordon. I mean, he's a good example. He had himself, he kept failing. And then he had a lifetime ban, but they waived it and gave him a 1-year ban, I think.
Yeah.
He's back in the league now, but he's going to get snagged soon.
Yeah.
It's how the guy copes. It's how he's coped since high school, probably.
He missed a year of his career, and these guys have a very short shelf life, too.
Yeah.
Josh Gordon, by the way, please come on Infused. We'd love to talk to you.
Right. I'd love to hear what he has to say.
I would, and too. Ricky. Yeah. Oh, God. Ricky's a great interview.
I met Ricky.
Yeah.
You did?
At a Ravens event, yeah.
Really?
He played a year for the Ravens. Super nice.
That's He's supposed cool. to be a really nice guy.
We were thumb wrestling for, I won best out of 7 series against Ricky Williams.
Wow. Is it because he was using cannabis?
No, it was performance enhancing.
Oh, guys. So let me ask this one, and we'll move along, and then we'll tease about what we're going to be doing next week south in our state. Let me move along. Frank, I'm going to start with you, and everybody's going to answer this question. When do you think we're going to see significant change as far as cannabis being accepted in the world of athletics, or will we just not see that change?
In the world of athletics, I don't think it's going to happen in the next 10 years. I mean, just talking to the fact of the NFL, you see how long it took them to get concussion data and use that to help players.
Yeah,
I mean, that was over 20 years of studies done, so... I can't see in the next 10 years. I would love it for it to happen, but we'll see. I don't know.
Wait and see. Dank dark decade predicted by Frank, 10 years gone by. Francesca, when do you think we're going to see some significant change?
I think it's going to take federal legalization at the minimum. And then after that, then I think you're going to see a difference because as maybe stadiums figure out their policies, you know, there's a lot of elements to that, that if, you know, the professional athletes are officially allowed and it's out in the open, then what does that mean? You know, what does that look like? They've got to figure out all of those things. So I think it's going to be after federal legalization, and it'll be the smart ones will be the first to allow, and they'll be like, you know what, they'll figure it out and they'll be first, and they'll like lead by example and get to capitalize on all the marketing good that can do. They'll partner with the right people, you know, by that. And it's also, this is just an unstable industry in a lot of ways, so yeah. I think it has to be a more mature industry for something like the business of professional athletes to do business with it, you know. So it'll be, I don't think it'll be 10 years. I think I'll go under. I'll say 7.
Okay, 7 years. And while you're talking and making those good points, I was thinking to myself, yeah, there's already some good progress and stuff we didn't talk about today because, you know, basketball's not ready to start their season yet. But I think other leagues are already taking some good steps. But, yeah, Mike, what's your take?
I think it's 2 to 3 years. I think it's not far because I think – NBA doesn't test at all. Yep. MLB, we talked about them, very lenient. NFL is now just fining people. Mm-hmm. And so I think once you get once the NFL changes, which probably won't be long, then what's left? You know what I mean?
Like yeah.
Hockey, I don't know what the hockey's policy is.
Yeah.
But I think the other component of this, it sits with the international, say, like the World Anti-Doping Agency, like mm-hmm. what are they're the ones that have to really reform in my mind, because
that's a good point, the
International Olympic Committee follows those guidelines, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
So to me, that's the whole other side of sports. Like, I don't know what people are doing in Europe, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know if they test or don't test. But and then the other third component is amateur athletes, like say college athletes, are they going to do anything at that level? Because I think that's a whole different. I could see that one taking 10, 12 years.
Now the feeder
years.
Pattern, yeah, though, is
I could see that
used
one taking
to cannabis, and they
yeah,
so they I might think, be the first generation of open cannabis,
or just they could still be banned until you get to be a pro. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I just don't. I think that's the real tricky one. I think the four majors in the U.S. are going to all be. I think you're going to see them pretty much not even look at it anymore soon, like 3 years.
Yeah,
and then the international community. I think that one's going to be soon, too.
You really think 3 years, whether we go federal or not?
I think it has nothing to do with it.
Wow.
I do. Mm. Wow. I think that you can't separate that money and federal banking.
It's already
and all
done.
The all three projections are interesting, whether it's 10 years, 7 years, or 2 to 3. And I start to look around at the different people that represent the players' associations in all the sports now. They're a lot savvier. They're a lot better educated than they were in years past, too.
Very much so.
And I think they're going to get to work. So it almost makes me hopeful that we're going to see it in that shorter time frame. But it's fun
that my answer is the worst answer there.
What's that?
Let's hope that my answer is the worst answer
yes.
in that situation.
I wouldn't call it the worst.
No, that's the worst case scenario.
Worst case, yeah.
Look, I don't beat up on Frank. Not on this show.
Not on air. Not when the cameras are rolling. Just when they're off.
Guys, this was fun tossing this idea around with you. Just getting in front of the mics and just shooting the breeze about something that comes up all the time. It's something people ask us about, too. This was a fun first microdose, but I don't want to fail to bring this up. in just a little over a week, we are heading south in our home state of Delaware with the Infuse Show. Mike Patterson, your hometown, why don't you tell our listeners what's going to go down?
Saturday, October 8th, Dewey Beach, Delaware, Starboard Restaurant, Dewey Goes Pink, be there.
It's an enormous 5K run, walk, fundraiser that this beach town goes balls to the wall for, and it's pretty cool to see thousands of people come together to help fight, you know, the good fight against breast cancer. And we're excited to be there and to bring cannabis into those conversations and to champion its use in the fight against cancer and to support all the survivors and the supporters of those survivors.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Thank you for wearing pink today, Francesca, to promote our little endeavor. Looks pink to me. Oh, rose. But it's going to be really important, guys. Please stop by the Starboard Restaurant, Dewey Beach, Delaware. Stop by our table. The Infuse Show will be there. We'll be looking to talk to you. And we should also say we're going down there to help share the story of our friend Nicole DeMonda, who is on an upcoming episode of Infuse. It drops really, really soon. She's going to tell you all about how cannabis saved her life. You can't miss her episode. And please don't miss Dewey Beach, Delaware. Dewey Goes Pink, October 8th. The second to last stop on the Infuse tour of 2022.
It is.
So we're pretty stoked about this one.
The bus is on fumes, man.
Back on the cannabis. Guys, it's been a blast. So this was episode 1 of Microdose. Can't wait to bring you more content like this one. Thank you to you, Francesca. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Frank.
Good stuff, everyone.
This Thanks, was a guys.
Good time. We'll see you the next time on Microdose from Delaware. Bye-bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Are you looking for the next great cannabis business to invest in? Then you need to check out the MJ Bulls podcast. Hi, I'm Dan Humiston. Join me each week as I speak to both cannabis entrepreneurs who are raising capital and cannabis investors who are investing capital. Our 10-minute episodes are perfect for the busy investor. Start listening to the MJ Bulls podcast today, wherever you listen to podcasts, and who knows, maybe you'll discover the next cannabis unicorn.